Christ Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice if you never got things wrong? Wouldn't it be nice if you were always perfect? Wouldn't it be lovely if you never made a mistake? I certainly can't claim any of those things for myself, can you? And it's in this position that we really need to hear what Jesus says to us, because his words are sure. He never made a mistake. He is always true. And he's the one who makes all the difference in the world for you and me. All the difference in our world, not only for this life, but the life to come. It is Jesus who said, "If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." In him saying this, he was speaking pretty much to a world that's no different to today. We've got a bit of a difficulty with our world, don't we? Most of it thinks it doesn't need saving. It thinks it's doing okay, and certainly by the devices that we come up with, we have a way of getting on in life. I even heard a young man say a number of years ago now, "Don't you worry, we're on top of things. It won't be long and we will have a cure over cancer that means you won't die, and in fact we'll have a cure over death." I'm still yet to see that come true, but I know Jesus' words come true. You see, he said to those who had been following him, the Jews, he said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And like I said, the context then was no different to today. If you follow more in that chapter of John chapter 8, you get to see who he's talking to and what's going on. These people, these Jews who had held on to some of his teaching and were starting to follow him, actually did not hold him as their saviour in their heart. If you read through the rest of that chapter, it's a very stark conversation between Jesus and these people. He even gets to the point when he says, "You are not following my father, you're following your father, the devil. And the proof is you want to kill me. You have no sight of what I'm here for you. You don't believe in me." And so his words, his stark words here, are really a call for them to come to him, to be set free from their unbelief, to be set free from that hold on them which leaves them as a slave to sin. And that's just how he describes their condition. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Are you a slave? Am I? We're all slaves to sin. We all sin. And that's very much what we're going to hear in a reading from Romans at the end of the service. Slaves to sin, and we need being set free. And so Jesus set it up to hold on to his teaching. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What's this truth he's talking about? What's this truth that sets you free, that sets freedom in place of the whole world that doesn't even realize it's locked in chains of slavery to sin? What is this truth teaching? It is none other than the truth teaching that has been revealed by God through Jesus' death and resurrection. Every pointer from the time he first spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and said, "The seed of the woman is going to crush your head, Satan, and in so doing, you'll bruise his heel." Every word that was spoken right there when that first sin happened, right through, that pointed forward, every sacrifice in the Old Testament times wasn't their act of obedience to make them good before God. No, it was an act of faith for God to lavish them with his forgiveness, pointing forward to the once-for-all sacrifice that would be made by his Son on the cross. That's the truth. And this is the truth that Jesus was giving out freely to all those, including those who hated him, including those who were holding on to what they believed was God and believing by their lives of devotion to this God, by keeping laws, that they were right with God. He set before them the truth. Trust in yourself, you haven't got a hope. Trust in Christ, he says, and I will set you free. Free from sin, free from death, free from the eternal chains that hold us as a slave to sin. And how can he do it? He sets out beautifully. He gives them a little example that you cannot change. It's a historical reality. A slave has no permanent place in the family. But a son does. A son always has a permanent place in the family. And so if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. And this son, the Son of God, has come at the will, beckoning, and loving call of his heavenly Father, our Father, to be here for us, to set us free. If we go into Romans, you can see just how this is God's action. You're going to hear this later. God's action, it's all his action for you. Unbelievable. Because we don't deserve it. God's action, there he says, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. He's revealed this to you and to me and to the whole world. Jerusalem, Golgotha, the cross, the center of the world. And when we think of God coming to us, we're a long way from Jerusalem, aren't we? And yet, he's revealed this to us here. And he, God himself, was the one who justified freely by his grace. He did it freely. You and I never contributed one iota. In fact, we couldn't. We're told by Isaiah, even our good works are as filthy rags in his sight. No, it had to be all his works. And by his grace, showing out his riches in Christ at Christ's expense, he justified us. Amazing. With the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, it's a buying back redemption. He's bought you back with blood. When Luther talks about not with silver or gold, but with his holy precious blood, he's quoting the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, who says, you're not saved by silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. And this precious blood, God, again, is the actor. God set forth as a propitiation. Now, hang on to that word, propitiation. Only holds two places in the New Testament, here and in 1 John. It's a vital word. And so many people want to excuse it and pass it away because it means God is a God of wrath. He's wrathful. They don't like a God of wrath. He's a God of love. How can you call him a God of wrath? Well, let me put it to you. Do you want a God who tolerates sin? Do you want a God who is happy to shake hands with the devil? Do you want a God who looks at you and passes over your sin and does nothing about it? That's what an unwrathful God would do. But God's wrath is rightly placed on us as sinners. And here, listen carefully, God set forth Jesus as a propitiation, the one who turned away all his wrath on you and me, because Jesus took the wrath of God on himself, where he, on that cross, took your and my sin in his own body on the tree. That's love. That's unfathomable love. And he, therefore, is the one who is just. He's true to himself. He is fully just in what he does, and he's the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He's the justifier of you. Isn't that fantastic? You don't have to wake up in the middle of the night and think, have I done enough? You don't have to be like Luther and think, I better climb those steps and say more prayers. or beat myself in the cell in order to make myself acceptable to God. In fact, everything in your life is not a must. Even, and be careful of this, coming to church, praying the Lord's Prayer, receiving the Lord's Supper, thirsting for God's Word, that's not something which makes you acceptable to God. It's faith in Jesus. We need to be careful we don't make a law out of the very means of grace that He's given us to give us that faith. And so you are set free to love God. You are set free to love being in His presence in worship. You are set free to love going to the Word and digging deeper into what God's done for you. You are set free to come and receive the very body and blood of Jesus, where He promises, I come to give you life, salvation, strengthen your faith, and keep you holy. He's doing it all. There is no other God in the world that does that. There is no other Saviour, and this is why it was on the lips of the apostles in Acts chapter 4. There's no other name for salvation given among humankind by which we must be saved. It's in Jesus. And it's here in Jesus that we get to see some real truths. Paul said also in Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For freedom Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore. Don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. What's he saying? Don't put yourself back under the law in order to think by doing so that makes you a good person, a good Christian, someone whom God will love. No, He loves you by grace. And we need to be so careful of this. My wife had the joy of preparing a Bible study for the women in Victoria. And the title of the Bible study was Born Free. And part of that Bible study in the early part was to look at how we put expectations on ourselves, and by those expectations, we think we have to meet them to be a good person, to be approved by someone else, to be liked by someone else, and even to be liked and approved by God. And with lots of questions that unpack what it means to put expectations on oneself, the response from the participants was overwhelming. So many recognized that even though they believed Jesus has set them free, they'd put themselves back under the yoke of slavery of the law, thinking, I better do this or else I won't be good enough. And so we need to be constantly reminded, just as those Christians in Galatia were by the Apostle Paul, who gave up the gospel. They did not stand fast. They thought they had to mix something about God and believing in Jesus and what they did in order to be right with God. No, Christ is the one who's made you right with God. For freedom, he says, I've set you free. And what's that like? As we journey, maybe you and I too have days where we feel we're under those expectations that we put ourselves under. Can God really love me? Can he really accept me when he sees me as I see myself? I want you to think of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, if you know his story a little bit, a Lutheran pastor. He was there at the time of the Second World War. He stood up for those against Hitler. And for that, he ended up in prison. Bonhoeffer's words are quite telling. He talks about freedom, and he says this. As soon as the judge says you are free, even if the door to your prison cell hasn't been opened yet. That's how you and I can see God at work, setting us free from the slavery of our prison to sin. He has declared you to be free in Christ. He said, I've forgiven you all your sin. And his authority to do that is by the Son himself. And a moment ago, you might recall that when giving the absolution, a pastor will say, by the authority of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin. It's not my authority, it's his authority. You are declared free, even though you feel like that prison cell door hasn't yet opened. You are free. Set free by his decision, by his verdict, by his will. For that's God's mission. That's God's mission in this world. I want you to think a little bit about something that you've made that's beautiful. I'm sure you've all have creative enzymes and you've created something beautiful. What happens when you create something beautiful and all of a sudden it gets broken? You try to fix it, but it never really looks the same. It never has the same strength that it had before. It's flawed, and you know it. And every time you look at it, you can see the glue line, can't you? Well, that's what it's like for us. God's mission in our world, well, he created everything perfectly without sin. And he created you and me. He created us with the law written on our hearts so that we could love him and we could love each other perfectly. And then what happened? One fall, two broken people, and everyone except Christ, who is born sinless, everyone since has been born into a place where they fail to love as they should. And we fail to love God as the law tells us to. We fail to love each other as the law tells us to. And we can't fix ourselves. What a desperate place that would be. And yet, God in his love for you and for me, in his own Son, giving him that whole task of being the sin bearer of all people of all time, has come into our world. And by his forgiving blood, blood shed, blood that appeases, blood that forgives, covers you. Not with your righteousness. That wouldn't go well before God. No, with the righteousness of Christ. He covers you fully. And you get to see yourself clothed as you really are. As the Apostle Peter also gave that description, you're like a bride on her wedding day. And if you've ever seen a bride on her wedding day, it leaves everyone staggered. Well, that's too how we should encourage one another in Christ. There's a number among us, family members included, that for one reason or another have been caught away from this freedom. They've seen something of the world, like that parable that Jesus spoke about of the sower. The seed that was in shallow soil, or the seed that was growing up among the weeds and the weeds choked them out. What do you do with the loved one who's lost that freedom, who knows the freedom from sin and from death, who has the hope of eternal life? What do you do? Well, here's a thought. You belong to a community, a family, a congregation of faith. There were people like that at Jesus' time too. And when they saw a man in need, four of his friends gathered him up and they came to the house where he was. So many people in the house, they couldn't get in through the door. They opened the roof and they let that man down for Jesus to heal him. And Jesus did. Healed and forgave him. And to prove it, told him to take up his mat and to go home to praise God. That's what we can do too. When you come to worship, this is a place where you serve with reformation power, with the power of the gospel that Luther rediscovered, that God, by the Holy Spirit, through Luther, brought back into the world. And you can bring your loved ones here to that altar when you commune. commit them to God in prayer and leave them with Him. For He can do what you and I can't do. And not only will He do that, He'll also work on our hearts to know how we engage with them, with the love of Christ, to bring that freedom that He has for them and that word of truth. Brothers and sisters, Jesus loves you. And He is true when He says, "The Son has set you free. You are free indeed. Free to love like no other. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from this time forward and forevermore. Amen."